Hey everyone, I'm your host Tom Shaughnessy and welcome back to Chain Reaction, a research-driven podcast that's a part of Delphi Digital. If you're not on Delphi's research portal, you're missing out on the critical analysis read by the top minds in the crypto space, so be sure to check it out. One quick housekeeping item, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. I may personally hold tokens mentioned on the podcast, and you can view our show notes below for our complete disclosures. With that, let's jump into the episode. Hey everyone, I wanted to tell you about our new podcast sponsor, LVL. LVL is releasing the first free Bitcoin exchange in North America. The LVL mobile app allows you to buy and sell Bitcoin with no trading fees or hidden spreads. With LVL, you get free Bitcoin trading, a hosted Bitcoin wallet, an FDIC-insured personal checking account, wires, checks, and direct deposits, and even a MasterCard debit card. If you use their premium account for $9 a month, you get autopilot automatic trading, chat with a dedicated private banker, and even a metal MasterCard. Check them out at lvl.co or check them out in the show notes below. Now back to our show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Chain Reaction. I'm your host, Tom Shaughnessy. Today, I'm thrilled to have on Dan Elliser, who's the co-founder of investment firm Nascent and previously started IDEO VC, it's a well-known fund, and Lewis Freiberg, who's an independent dev and the creator of ESD.tools. I'm sure anybody in Empty Set Dollar has been on there or just has it up on their tab. How's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks for having us, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, guys, it's great to have you on. So going to start off with a series. You guys are the first ones on. We're going to be covering stablecoins. This is an Empty Set Dollar is quite the interesting one. Full disclosure, I do own some. So Dan Lewis, let's just start. We'll start off with you, Dan. Give us a 60-second background on yourself.
Sure. So I started my career working in microfinance and social enterprise, then fell down the Bitcoin rabbit hole the same time I was heading to MIT for grad school, and basically been focused on nothing other than crypto for the last 7 years. So very excited, started IDEO Colab Ventures. I was at IDEO as part of the IDEO Colab team for 5 years, and then recently left and started this new firm, Nascent, which is an early stage crypto investing firm, but we also take a multi-strategy approach. And so something like ESD fits very nicely into that because we have a lot of different ways that we can participate in the ecosystem.
That's awesome. Louis, what about yourself?
So I'm a front-end developer by trade. I used to work at an advertising agency before, as Dan said, I fell down the crypto rabbit hole. So I kind of joined a layer one project, IOTA, at the time, and I did a lot of ecosystem work for them, building applications, helping translate the technical stuff into something that the community could understand. And I've kind of taken that thread through to a number of different projects. I did a similar tools website for the Handshake protocol, which is focused on, you know, decentralized DNS. Similarly found ESD and thought, you know, well, this is an interesting protocol, and I jumped in and started building some stuff for it as well.
Awesome. Yeah, now it's a fascinating protocol. So can you guys give us a quick elevator pitch on Empty Set Dollar and how it's different from other stable coins? And if you kind of throw in how large or how much ESD is in circulation today, that would be helpful for framing as well. And questions for anyone here?
So, Louis, you wrote the canonical piece. Why don't you take this one?
I guess the elevator pitch is that ESD is built to be the reserve currency of decentralized finance. Given that it has kind of all of the elements that you would expect from a decentralized finance protocol. It's decentralized, you know, on-chain governance from day one. It's composable. It's one of the first kind of elastic supply to stable coins to be able to integrate with other protocols seamlessly, you know, without having any issues in terms of the supply. And also stable. We've been a little bit around peg as of late, but you know, the kind of amplitude of that is slowly decreasing, and we hope it continues so that it can, you know, hover around peg a lot closer.
Awesome. So I guess basically ESD's attempt to be a stable coin, but I mean, from what we've seen so far, it's been pretty speculative, pretty volatile too, right? Like we've been above, you know, 110, 120, I think as high as 150 at some points. Why is a stable coin going that high? And a lot of this goes into the dynamics of, you know, increasing circulation and stuff like that. But why are we so high above the peg, over the last 30 days?
Yeah, I think this is a case where you're bootstrapping a new system. And so for something that literally started at zero value about 4 months ago, there's going to be some volatility as it goes up. I think when you compare it to something like Bitcoin or Ether, the difference here is that it is seeking eventual price stability around $1. That is the target for it here, but the supply needs to grow. And there's certainly a huge element of speculation right now. And for this to be useful long-term, empty set dollar needs to get integrated into a lot of other protocols. People need to start using it as a stable coin. But in order to get supply up to a level where it's actually useful, there is this bootstrapping phase. There was a literal bootstrapping phase that was very, very early on in the protocol, but I would say we're still bootstrapping. The supply is just over 500 million ESD at this point, and that's still very, very small in the grand scheme of things if you think about what the demand could be for a truly decentralized dollar-pegged stablecoin. And one of the things that I think makes it very different from others is if you look at something like USDC or USDT, that has a lot of centralization risk, a lot of regulatory risk that's been really highlighted over the past week or two as we've seen things like the Stable Act and this working group that the Treasury Department talked about where they literally want to require stablecoin issuers to ensure that there is on-chain KYC with every transaction. That's insane. And that is the kind of thing that could be the future if we stick with stablecoins like USDT and like USDC. Now, those are great in that they can be able to hold the peg very tightly. But for those of us who believe in this decentralized financial future, it's really dangerous to put all your eggs in that basket. The darling for a long time in this space has been DAI from the Maker protocol. And I think DAI is fantastic. It was the first kind of decentralized stablecoin that people got really excited about and that got a good degree of adoption. It's very capital inefficient, right? You need to over-collateralize every DAI there. It's driven by desire for credit and leverage, which is a very cool mechanism. I'm a big fan and user of DAI, but ultimately it's very capital inefficient. And so ESD was the first real attempt to get some traction that takes this approach of being truly decentralized while also being very capital efficient. Now, I want to emphasize that it's still very early on. There are still a lot of things that likely are going to change with this over time. It's unclear if it will actually work and be able to be long-term stable, but it's exploring new territory that existing stable coins don't cover. And I think it's very valuable territory. And if it can work, it seems like it would be better in many ways than some of the existing stablecoin paradigms that we're used to.
Yeah, Dan, that's an excellent overview of empty set dollar and kind of dives into my next set of questions. One of my main questions was just around MakerDAO's DAI. So DAI has been around for years. It's a stablecoin built by locking up ETH and you get DAI on the flip side. There's been a lot of issues with that because, demand for DAI or just demand for leverage, right? Demand for DAI doesn't increase the circulating supply. I was going to ask what the issues are with collateral-based stablecoins or like DAI or centralized stablecoins like USD or Tether. I feel like you already kind of answered both, but I'll throw the puck back to you guys if you have any other comments because, there's a lot of stuff that comes into play on centralization risk here as well with oracles, whitelisting, things like that. And that's really not the world I think we're building for in crypto. And generally the projects that, push the boundaries here and actually build towards that Web3 vision generally get a higher multiple and rewarded down the line.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, from my side, looking at something like DAI, you have kind of the over-collateralization required. And that is, as Dan said, is very capital inefficient. But then you also have, the volatility risks and stuff. So you have to kind of be long on the asset in order to have, DAI not be liquidated. So You know, you've had scenarios in the past, like Black Thursday, where they where there were issues with that, and you know, there's still like court cases progressing and things like that in that area. So with that thing, with that side, you know, like DAI is trying to fix that by, you know, adding in other collateral, you know, sometimes USDC and a few other things. But that then kind of backdoors into the issues that you have with centralized stable coins, you know, looking at you know, blacklists, things like the Stables Act and other things that are kind of coming around as of late. So I think with ESD and ESD style stuff that's popped on recently, there is kind of this new way of looking at how we can have an algorithmic stablecoin, and that to me is something that's really interesting, you know, and fits with the narrative that DeFi is trying to project.
Tom, you're muted.
Oh, we're not sorry about that. Gosh, yeah, no, saw that. Appreciate that. What do you guys think about on the DeFi application side, though? Like, DAI and USDC are very tightly integrated with DeFi and, you know, Web3 as we're getting there. Like, every project wants, you know, either DAI or USDC. As you yield farm them, they're tightly integrated with, like, at a protocol level with a lot of these things. Do you think that ESD could actually fill that gap? Like, how hard is it for projects to start accepting it? Or is it just more of a cultural thing where people start to say, hey, this is stable, let's accept this instead?
I think it's largely going to be a cultural thing and people seeing that it's stable and wanting to use it. It's never going to be, at least in my view, it's very unlikely to be as stable price-wise as USDC. That just has the ability to keep a very, very tight peg, but it comes with this regulatory and centralization risk. Now, ESD does use USDC currently for Price Oracle, right? That's what we're kind of targeting when you look at how that dollar peg is being determined. There's been some discussion about whether we should move away from that, where you could still use the Uniswap TWAP to get time-weighted average price to get the price of ESD in USDC terms. But if we incentivized the ETH ESD pool rather than the USDC ESD pool, that would be a way where the incentivized pool that has a lot of value is really, really censorship resistant. And then you can reference over to the ETH USDC pool to get that cross over into USDC. There would be some pretty big changes there, right? That the primary pool that is being incentivized is no longer a stable pool where you expect long-term to have very little or no impermanent loss. But it is a way that the protocol could be made more resilient to regulatory capture. And I love that this is a community that is thinking about that and talking about things like that, because that really is part of the core value proposition to ESD, is that it is decentralized, that it does have the ability to resist regulatory capture in a way that centralized stable coins don't.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Centralized stable coins really don't have a lot of recourse. The ETH ESD pool would probably have a lot more impermanent loss, to your point, but I guess for decentralization, it might actually be worth it kind of long-term. And guys, just to dig into the technicals a bit to round out the conversation, I'd love to talk about how ESD expands and contracts supply. I know you guys alluded to it a bit, but how exactly does ESD expand supply? I mean, there's a couple of different ways. There's the DAO, there's staking your Uniswap LP shares. There's a couple of different ways to kind of gain issuance, which is basically increasing supply. But how exactly does that work in the wild?
Right. So in terms of how the system kind of works, the protocol fetches the time-weighted average over 8 hours. So each eight hours, there's an epoch. And that epoch is basically a sample size for the average price that the ESD is trading at. If the price is above one USDC, then the protocol will mint new supply and distribute that to people who are either bonded in the DAO or they're providing liquidity in the Uniswap pool. Similarly, if the TWAP price is below one USDC, then new debt is minted, and this debt can then be voluntarily purchased in the form of coupons that carry a premium depending on the debt ratio to the supply, and then they can be redeemed at the next available time that the TWAP is back above one USDC.
What's the cadence though from you guys? Like, do you think empty set dollar expands supply too quickly or too slowly? Because I've been tracking for a while, and Dan, you're right. It's early. It's got a bootstrap. It's volatile. But I always feel like, although we're expanding supply, we were always above that peg for a long time. But I guess that'll normalize it over time.
Yeah, there have been. I think this is we're currently at around 97 cents, which is, I think, the fourth time we've gone and had I guess we're not even a full epoch under a dollar yet, but this looks likely to be the fourth contraction that we've seen. I think that's very healthy. Long term, we're going to need to see a little bit of fluctuation more tightly pegged around that dollar point. But my fear as this has grown, and I've been participating in it since very, very early on, I've seen all of these contraction cycles go through, has been that we overexpand. And there was a big disagreement, I think, within the very early community when there was a change to limit the max expansion every 8 hours from 10% per 8 hours down to 3%. And when a proposal passed to make that change, it coincided with a strong drop below a dollar. And there were members of the community who were very upset and felt like this was the reason why there was this contraction at the time, because that you know, 9% yield, 10% yield per day was viewed as too little. And I still think it's insanely high. And I think the problem was the supply growing faster than demand. And so we're now at a half a billion ESD in circulation with a target peg of a dollar. So we're talking about a half billion dollar protocol here. It's very early on. I'm very excited to see this growth. But if we continue to grow at the rate that ESD has been growing so far, I think that's going to overheat. And so I think that they're hopefully market forces will help keep it a little more in line and growing a little bit slower. But I also think it's worth having a governance discussion as to whether that kind of expansion and contraction limit per period should be brought down even lower. I think even something like 0.5% would be more reasonable. And that would still be, you know, in an expansionary, max expansionary phase at the current size, we'd still be talking about adding more than 15 million ESD per day. So that's, I still think that's a crazy amount of expansion, and it can let us get to some very, very large numbers in a very short time period. But one of the things that I think is very valuable about the empty set dollar community versus some of these other stablecoin communities that have emerged recently around things that are trying to do the uncollateralized stablecoin thing, or partially collateralized in some cases, has been a lot of them have really leaned into this degen approach and encouraging people with high yields to jump in and participate. And I think that the ESD community has largely, although not entirely, been very long-term focused and saying, you know, we don't want to overheat. We don't want to grow too quickly. The goal is to be a stable coin, not to be, you know, money printer go burr meme thing here. We want to actually have this be long-term useful. And if it can be long-term useful, then everyone is going to be better off. But there are tons of ways in DeFi right now to go out and do really degenerate things. And the hope is that empty set dollar will have this community that will be long-term focused. And hopefully, yes, folks will make money from it. But the core community members who I'm seeing involved in the forums and the Discord and the discussion after discussion, they are not focused on maximizing short-term returns. They're focused on maximizing long-term returns by building something that does actually meet this goal of having a price stable asset at a massive scale.
Yeah, that's really important. The funny part is I noticed that 3,000% APY early on, and then I realized, you know, to get to potentially billions in circulating supply, you kind of have to have that increase. I guess the funny part is, you know, an annoying part about MakerDAO early on was, you know, every day, every week we were on calls to determine the interest rate there, and the collateralization ratio and stuff like that, or not the collateral ratio, the interest rate. I'm thinking back way too far here. Do you think that ESD will get to a point where people are just kind of debating every week on what the supply should be expanded by? I'm kind of hoping we get to a point where it's a bit algorithmic, where, you know, we don't need that governance because people tune out.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I think this has been a hot topic in the community, but I think the end goal for me, or like, you know, what I'm really interested in seeing is that ESD becomes as boring and as ubiquitous as USDC. Like, you know, it's not going to hold its peg as tight as Dan said, but, you know, I think in the end, we hope that, you know, the circulating supply will be unlocked and being used in various DeFi protocols, and that there'll be maybe a group of people who are interested in staying, you know, in the DAO or in the LP and looking after the PEG and maintaining that. So, you know, when we have these discussions about, you know, try to fine tune the details, I mean, we have to get the incentive structure right for the long term. But, you know, what that looks like is, you know, there's research grants that have been put out already from the Treasury to tackle these issues. But I think, you know, ideally, this just becomes a, you know, a stable coin in the true sense that it's a volatility hedge. You exit out into it when things are looking a bit tough, and you use it as you would a normal stable coin. It just has those extra features of, you know, the decentralization. That is something that I think a lot of people would be keen to look for.
Yeah, I think everybody that I've talked to in the project is really on that same page of not wanting this to be a governance heavy thing. And because of the way it's set up and the mechanisms and the fact that this is not, I would say, long-term sustainable in its current form, it's going to need to evolve and grow. There's a little bit more activity and governance discussion that needs to happen right now, but long-term, absolutely, nobody wants to be on governance calls every single week trying to tweak this and being a decentralized Fed. The idea is that the protocol should become self-regulating over time.
That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely don't want those stability fee calls every week, so it's good to hear. And guys, I just noticed, I woke up and noticed, because the first time that I've been involved with the project that I've seen it under a dollar. Right now, I think we're on 91 cents. I'm on ESD tools. What's the incentive to get that back to a dollar? My understanding is that people will burn ESD, which makes it more scarce. People will buy ESD, which bidding it up to then burn it, making it more scarce, to then convert into coupons to eventually kind of get back more ESD above a dollar. Is that the way it works? And has this worked in the past? And do you think that is a strong enough incentive long-term to help stabilize this?
Yeah, at the moment, you know, the price is below that $1 peg. So new debt is going to be issued. And then that will increase the premium that you get for burning ESD for coupons. And one misnomer that commonly comes about is people thinking, you know, that the lockup that we have when you enter the DAO or enter the LP is there to kind of you know, increase the expansion cycles. But in reality, it's there to make sure that we can incentivize people to purchase a new ESD with USDC to increase the price and get it back to peg, and then burn that for the coupons when the price is, and so it's redeemable when the price is above that $1 TWAP. So, I mean, in the past, you know, this is our fourth cycle so far. I mean, it looks to be our fourth cycle so far. You know, three previous times people have gone and purchased coupons and had them redeemable. I don't think anybody who hasn't intentionally let their coupons expire have had a loss on that front. But I do think that time would come if you know, we continue with this system and you know, the demand for ESD as a stable coin is met by the supply. You know, these coupons, they aren't, you know, a sure thing. They carry risk, and as you know, why they carry a premium. So, you know, as it goes at the moment, coupons have been a way to get back to the peg, and it's worked in the past. But there's some discussion around the community about how we can improve the system or replace it with a different one, and just so that we're able to make sure that we have stability moving into the long term.
Louis, can you expand on what those new ideas are? Because I'm not sure if I've seen them or just wondering what they were.
Yeah, so I mean, as with any kind of decentralized protocol, there's you know, we welcome all ideas to come in, and we've funded one grant proposal, the only grant proposal that has been looking at a new mechanism design that replaces coupons. And while I'm not kind of any authority on what that system will look like as it's being developed, there was an article written by Scott Lewis and Will Price that was published on Medium about what the design would look like. And that moves closer to something like a semi-collateralized or like a fractional, you know, reserve kind of stable coin. So that helps smooth out some of the price peaks and troughs and helps it get, you know, more stability in the long term.
Got it. That makes sense. And Dan, from an investment perspective, I mean, the incentive to purchase coupons is obviously that increased return you get. So the further you are below one, the higher the premium, so the more you'll get when you're back above one. So there's an incentive there, but I guess there's only incentive if people believe that we will be back above one, right? Empty Set Dollar feels large enough, it has a good community, but are you out here in the wild purchasing coupons, or is this something that's a bit more speculative at the moment?
Yeah, what I'll say is coupons are for advanced users only. I would not recommend someone who's not monitoring this very closely to come in and buy coupons. Coupons carry a lot of risk. All of ESD carries risk, to be clear. It's very early. The whole system could not work. We don't know. But the kind of shelling point of the $1 price on ESD means that whenever it's below a dollar, the further it trades below a dollar, there's incentive just to buy ESD and wait for it to go back up to a dollar and then be able to sell it at or over a dollar, right? So there's already that incentive just if you believe in this $1 shelling point, which has been very powerful early on. I've been very pleasantly surprised in how strong that's been. If you want additional leverage there, you can you can buy ESD below the peg and then burn it for coupons to get even more leverage. Now, the essentially premium that you're getting on those coupons is based on the amount of outstanding debt versus the total supply of ESD. So the longer ESD stays below the peg, the more debt is issued and the higher that premium will be on the coupons. Now, the risk with the coupons explicitly is that if you are not able to redeem them within currently it's 30 days, they will expire worthless. So you need to, the bet when you're buying coupons is not just that ESD will return to a dollar, it's that it will go above a dollar and stay above a dollar long enough for you to be able to redeem your coupons, which are currently on a kind of first come, first serve basis for redemptions. And that's created some friction in the community. And there's been a lot of proposal, a lot of discussion around how to improve that coupon redemption process so that it feels more fair and that it creates better incentives around the coupon behavior. But I want to be very clear, due to some of the dynamics around that, I would strongly discourage people from participating in the coupons unless they feel like they've got a very strong understanding of the system and or a ton of capital to help ensure that the you know peg returns and stays there long enough for them to be able to redeem those coupons.
And that's great color. And what's the point of burning those coupons after 30 days? Does that mean that, hey, you know, demand hasn't kept up, we're not above a dollar, so supply has to come down? Because on the flip side, if they didn't get burned, we would just have, you know, circulating supply kind of increase.
Exactly. That's the idea there. I think the proposal from Scott Lewis and Will Price would replace that because a lot of people, I think, don't like the idea of that kind of permanent contraction through burn. It feels very scary. People don't want to have that. And so they are proposing replacing the system that's more like a kind of longer term zero coupon bond system. So it would remove circling supply now and it would pop up again later, but hopefully at the point where demand has returned and grown. So you know, we'll see it where the research leads. And if they do develop evidence that this would be a more healthy, more stable system long-term. But I do think that the coupon system, while not perfect, has been effective thus far at returning to the peg.
And Dan, that's another, I mean, we're talking about when we're below a dollar, people are burning ESD to buy coupons. But on the flip side, this helps stabilize the other way, because when we're above one, you know, say 110, 120, people can redeem those coupons for ESD, maybe increase some sell pressure and go back towards a dollar.
Correct. Yeah. And that's the idea, is that there should be pressures on both sides, right? That's the idea of increasing the supply above a dollar. So people will sell and push the price back down once below, give people incentive to buy or to burn and reduce the supply to help push the price back up. So that's the kind of core mechanisms around ESD that it's trying to use to achieve that stability around $1.
Got it. And Louis, before you mentioned kind of the lockups, so if I'm in the DAO, there's a lockup. I think it's 15 epochs. Yeah. I think that's what, 3 days. And then the Uniswap LPs, I think it's shorter. What's the reasoning for that lockup? Because if it goes below a dollar and I'm locked up, I really can't burn my ESD for a couple of days later.
Yeah. So I guess this wasn't actually in the original design of the protocol. This was added in later. And the reason that we added it was, or the community added it, was because there was issues when, we were going above a dollar. People were immediately unbonding. When we go below a dollar, people were immediately unbonding and purchasing coupons with those tokens. And that wasn't doing anything to push the price back up to the peg. So in that sense, having a lockup, it disincentivizes you or it removes the ability for you to be able to work in that way, which requires new capital to come in and push the price back up to a dollar and re-achieve the peg.
Yeah, I think a common misconception around coupons is that if people just burn ESD for coupons, that reduces the supply and restores the peg. It doesn't if those ESD were not in the market already. What you need is for people to buy ESD out of the market, which pushes the price back up. And absent that, the only way that buying coupons helps is to reduce the supply is if those coupons expire and ESD is permanently removed from circulation. If you just have people who are long-term DAO bonders who purchased coupons every time and waited, they're kind of free riding essentially at that point. And so the purpose of coupons is to really create incentive for those who are going to do the work to basically push it back up to a dollar and give them a way to get effectively additional leverage on that activity of restoring the peg.
Makes a lot of sense. And you kind of have a weird reflexive thing where once ESD gets large enough, now it's at 500 million in circulation or in issuance, once you hit, potentially a couple billion, there is a large incentives for those whales though to go out in the open market and buy ESD and burn it below a dollar, right? Because they'll have a lot of locked up capital in ESD that they potentially don't want to lose. Is that the right way to think about it?
I think that could very well be. It's hard to know what the motivations are going to be of any individual player. But yeah, long term, that is one of the mechanisms that hopefully helps to maintain stability, is that there's enough people invest in the long term success of the system here that they're going to do what will be both profit maximizing for themselves in the short term, because there are essentially these arbitrage opportunities if you believe in the long term success of the system. But then there's also the long term incentive if you do have a lot of capital tied up in this, that you want to help make this a self-fulfilling prophecy and ensure that the system does work. And so doing your part to support it for the long-term investment that you have as well.
Makes sense. And guys, I one thing I'm kind of wrestling with here is there's a large amount of the supply locked up, right? I think it's like 70% is in the DAO. I think 10% or so is in the LP shares, or actually 80% of the DAO, because some of that is staged, some's bonded. When do we get to a point where the majority of the supply is circulating, right? Because we want a free flowing stable coin. We want people using this. Do you think that, Dan, not to read into your earlier thoughts, but as ESD gets larger, it'll be used more in the wild and less in the DAO, because eventually returns will come down. But if you have a lower percent in the DAO and returns come down, returns could still be quite attractive, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think, as I mentioned before, the idea is that this becomes boring. Like, the returns will drop as the supply gets closer and closer to the demand for the natural demand for the protocol. And we start to hover within kind of this, the 6 cent band around the $1 peg, where incentives kind of move up on a gradual scale and down. So, once we get to that point, the requirement or the want to be able to bond in the DAO to receive returns will diminish. And only those players who are interested in staying in the DAO to maintain and receive those rewards will do so. But the majority of people might hold it in their wallet, or they might use it in other protocols where it's integrated, or they might look at other opportunities if they're just there for speculation.
Yeah, I think the long-term steady state, if this works, would be the folks bonding ESD are essentially just receiving effectively the inflation rate in dollars, would be, if this were an absolute steady state long term. I have no idea, A, will we ever get there? If we B, if we do, how long that would take? I would imagine a very, very long time, but that would be what I would expect in a steady state system here. So yeah, eventually, yes, to answer your question, Tom, we should hopefully see a lot more free-floating ESD being used as a stablecoin rather than seeing it locked up in the DAO.
It's wild to think about having a U.S. savings account that accurately tracks inflation. Meanwhile, we get, a few basis points.
Yep.
hopefully we'll get there kind of eventually. And can we talk a bit about, just to close out the technical discussion, just the differences between speculators wanting to get involved? Like, why would somebody choose to stake or bond in the DAO instead of providing equal parts ESD and USDC on Uniswap and staking those LP shares? What are the differences on issuance risks, and what would you guys prefer, I guess?
Well, I think the system needs both, right? So only those, and there's been some discussion of whether this should be changed, but currently only those who are actually bonded in the DAO have a vote in governance. And so if you want to help influence the long-term direction of the protocol, then you should be bonded there to do so. However, the current split is, when we're expanding, 80% of new issuance goes to the DAO, 20% goes to staked LP shares. And so that ends up kind of creating an equilibrium where you end up with pretty similar rates of return on the value that's been locked in both, is where it's tended to equilibrate. One of the advantages for the LP is that you're able to, unlock sooner. You're able to free up your rewarded ESD from the inflation. Every, five epochs is a way that you can do it, kind of unbonding and rebonding and then claiming. And so it's a way, if you want to help maintain the peg, if you want to add liquidity, if you don't want to buy in as much ESD, you just want to do half USDC, you can do that there. But we have seen relatively similar rates. Generally, the total return on the DAO has been a bit higher, but you really are locked in there for longer term. You've got 100% price exposure to changes in ESD. So there are certainly trade-offs.
Makes sense. And on the LP share side, so while the DAO returns are higher, I think they've been pretty significantly higher, like 2 or 3 times. But to your point, there's different risks involved with the longer lockup. But the LP shares, you're also earning fees from Uniswap, those 30 bips. I'm sure it's not much compared to what they're earning on ESD issuance. And they're also taking some permanent loss. So that's a good point. And both the DAO and the LP shares don't get issuance if we're under a DAO, right? I thought the LP shares did, but I think I'm wrong there.
The LP shares get issuance once it's back over a dollar while coupons are still being redeemed. The DAO has to wait until enough new ESD has been made available that it could redeem all coupons. And then there's new issuance going to the DAO. The LPs immediately, once there's any new ESD issued, are receiving their 20% in order to incentivize that liquidity.
Got it. Okay. And last, I guess, tactical kind of question. How exactly is the debt computed when we're under a dollar? Like, that was always kind of a thing I didn't quite understand. How does that happen?
When you have expansions, on the positive side of the TWAP, there is new tokens minted, and that's kind of a function of the percentage increase, which is maxed out at 3% at the moment, and that's a 3% of the total supply is then created and distributed to the LP bonders in the DAO. Similarly, when you're below PEG, if you're below 97 cents, then 3% of the supply is then minted as debt, and so that debt is accumulated in a pool. Up until a max ratio of, I think it's 35% at the moment, or 20%, I think, as a new governance proposal just passed. And so, as that debt is sitting there, if it hits max, it can't increase anymore. And then at that point, you're at the highest coupon premium that you can get, which I think is 45%, or maybe a little higher with this recent government proposal. And so, as new debt is being issued every 8 hours below the $1 TWAP, the premium is increasing along the curve, and then as it gets kind of closer to the end and closer to the 35% debt cap or 20% debt cap, then it kind of kicks up and the premium goes up quite a lot higher. And then so as you burn ESD for these coupons, that actually removes debt from that pool, and then it gets pushed down. The premium gets pushed down along that curve as well. And then one thing to note as well is as the dollar goes back above $1 for the TWAP, then the debt is zeroed out. So this stops people from playing games where they will go and they'll push the TWAP above a dollar, purchase coupons, and then start to redeem them if they have a good bot or something available to be able to redeem the coupons first, and then push the price back down by selling, and then repeating that cycle. So by clearing the debt, we're removing that opportunity to kind of manipulate the price as well.
It's fascinating. You're right. It's definitely for pro users only. So people, you know the risk before you get involved with the coupon game. And guys, this is an awesome discussion on the technicals. I want to get into some, you know, more fun questions, hopefully, kind of on empty set dollar. And Dan, you've been around a million projects. You've seen, invested in some of the best. What's your feeling on empty set dollar kind of as a long-term investor, right? Because I think back to like, you know, Yearn 6 months ago and nobody knew what it would become, but we all knew it was fantastic. And I think we all here agree that DeFi is going to be a, you know, a massive opportunity, way bigger than it is today. But it's very hard to contextualize that when we have very early risky projects that are the building blocks that may end up becoming, you know, key, you know, Legos down the line. How do you kind of feel about, like, how do you weigh that risk now with empty set dollar versus where you think the space is going to go?
Yeah. So I think any project in DeFi right now is very early in terms of meeting the true market potential for decentralized finance protocols in the long term. So it's all very early. It's all very risky. You know, even blue chips, you know, Compound, Uniswap, things like that, right? They could all still fail and fail to reach their potential. That said, I think that one of the things that has gotten me very excited about empty set dollar has been the factors that we talked about earlier in terms of being really decentralized and very capital efficient, but also the strength of the community. Empty set dollar has really kind of kicked off this trend where we're seeing a lot of new innovation and other attempts around either uncollateralized or partially collateralized stablecoins. But those projects, I don't think, have as strong an early community where the Empty Set Squad, this kind of pseudonymous group that initially put out the protocol and has continued to be very involved in governance and in development, they've managed to pull in some really fantastic folks. Folks like Louis, who got involved very early on and built some tools and has been helping to, you know, moderate in the Discord and be a really active community member. There have been all these folks who've shown up and participated early on. I remember back in, I think it was, you know, maybe September or something, shortly after, maybe it was August, shortly after we'd come out of that first debt cycle, just chatting in the Discord, just being like, wow, there is incredible people in here who are having really very meaty discussions around the protocol and around how to grow this thing. And people who are very excited about it, some of whom have very large Twitter followings, and no one's talking about it. And I've just not been part of a community like this before, where you have so many people so excited about a project and involved early. And I don't know if people were trying to, like, you know, get their entry price and fill out their positions first, or my perception is actually a lot of it was people recognizing the power of some of the mechanisms and the fact that they could lead to some really ridiculous yields, and not wanting to encourage degen behavior and wanting to say, like, hey, let's slow the roll, let's let it grow a little bit more quietly under the radar at first. And I think that ethos of, you know, all these individual actors who've been involved in a bunch of different projects all independently come to the conclusion of, this has a lot of potential. The best way to kill that potential would be to shill it really hard. Let's put in the work and let's grow this community. Let's grow this protocol so that it actually can achieve that potential long-term. That's something that is incredibly rare and has gotten me very excited about the potential with empty set dollar. And it's why I'm spending more time focused on this than any other project right now, because I think there is that potential, but only if that ethos is maintained and if people really put in the work to get it there. And that's not going to be just the founding team or just, you know, folks who are, you know, have received grants or put forth formal proposals, but really anybody can come in there, make suggestions, participate in conversations, and help push this thing forward. And that's very exciting to me.
Excellent long-term color, Dan. I love your focus on the community and the ethos of the project and where they're at now. And Louis, one of my last questions for you, given, you know, you're in the weeds here on a lot of this stuff, and this is a very multifaceted question, so feel free to just dive into any, you know, key point that comes to mind, but why is empty set dollar, you know, better than, you know, there's a bunch out there, Basis Cash, Frax, DSD, other Elastic stable coins. There's a lot of technical differences. There's a lot of community differences. Some are copy and paste with tweaks like DSD. But when it comes to ESD, in your mind, why will it be the go-to kind of Elastic stablecoin versus its peers?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of different aspects. And I think the community aspect that Dan touched on is kind of one of the main ones. Like having a protocol that's been well-designed, you know, like it has with the single, you know, capital efficient structure with a single token. You know, I think Token Tax recently tweeted out about how it's, you know, one of the easiest to do in terms of taxes. And then you have this community alongside it that's, you know, really interested and engaged, you know, to push this long-term and not, you know, see short-term opportunities and you know, try and kind of maximize yield. I think, you know, when you look at the market out there for that, the addressable market for stable coins, you know, you can see, you know, billion, like, you know, tens of billions of dollars. And, you know, there really isn't something that exists that's able to kind of meet that demand and do so in a decentralized manner. And I think, you know, with ESD being the first and having an active community that's thinking about the protocol mechanics and actively participating in governance and upgrading the protocol as we go, I think that's really, really powerful. And I think that sets us apart a lot from some of the other communities that have sprung up afterwards. Not to say that those projects aren't great, and we're, you know, as a community are looking closely to see if we can learn anything from them, and hopefully they learn some stuff from us. But, you know, from that perspective, I think, you know, with that strong community, the great protocol design, and the network effect that we have, I think it's going to be, you know, one of the stronger projects out there, and that'll fill that niche of, you know, that decentralized algorithmic stablecoin.
We placed a, you know, pretty big bet on Empty Set Dollar and on this community. That said, long term, myself and my colleagues at Nascent, we're very long term focused on the potential in decentralized finance in creating these global open financial systems, and believe that a truly decentralized stablecoin is something that is incredibly valuable long term for the world. And so, while, you know, I personally hope Empty Set Dollar does achieve that vision, I think there is a bit of a feeling of we're all in this together. We all see the promise of this innovation. If it ends up being another project, it ends up being another project. There's likely room for multiple, you know, stable coins. We've already seen that, right? If there's room for USDT and USDC and, you know, GUSD and all these different centralized stable coins, I think similarly, there will be room for multiple decentralized stable coins. But the bet here is that Empty Set Dollar can be the largest one and hopefully most stable long term in filling that goal.
Yeah, no, it certainly feels like network effects. Winner, there definitely could be multiple winners. I guess with Elastic stablecoins, it's kind of a chicken and egg where you want it large enough that people will use it. And given Empty Set Dollar is currently the largest, it does make it hard to compete with. And Dan, my last question for you while we have you guys. You know, how do you feel about Anon development teams? I used to love them, and now I'm a little on the fence because, hey, you know, they could. We've seen a lot just back up and leave. There's no social, you know, link there. But on the flip side, they can do things that people with real faces can't do. So, I guess, what's your take on them just backing up and leaving? And Louis, you're a dev here with a face, so I guess that kind of slaps my question in the face.
Well, I think the fact that we're participating in an industry where there's currently 70% market dominance from an asset created by a pseudonymous developer, you kind of can't say that there's no value to pseudonymous development teams. I think there certainly is additional risk and uncertainty, but also advantages to having a pseudonymous development team. And so I was also an early backer of Hedgic, which has another pseudonymous developer, Molly Winchermute, there. I think there are always additional diligence questions that you need to ask yourself and go through when there is a pseudonymous developer that either in some cases may have administrative control early on. That is not the case in Empty Set Dollar, very, very clearly from early on. But the pseudonymous development team does have a meaningful portion of the supply. And so I do understand people viewing that as a risk. As I've you know, spent time with you know, one of the founders there in particular, I'm not personally too concerned about that. I've had some conversations with them. They've talked about doing some sort of vesting for their share. And so hopefully that is something that they will do and help give further confidence in their kind of long-term commitments. But every indication I've seen thus far has been around real long-term orientation here. not that we haven't seen other, you know, rug pulls from pseudonymous developers who have shown seemingly good intent and then done some things that really aren't great. So yes, ask the questions, yes, do your diligence. But I think that completely writing off pseudonymous developers and what they bring to the table would be a mistake as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. That makes a lot of sense. And Dan and Louis, this was an awesome conversation. Thank you so much for coming on such short notice, especially given the holiday week and weekend. Dan, we'll start with you. And then Louis, where could people follow you and Nascent?
You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Dialitzer, and Nascent is at NascentXYZ. And yeah, I'd love to hear what people think about Empty Set Dollar. And if they want to get involved, if you go to emptyset.finance, there's a link to the Discord and I think to the community forum and a number of other places where you can get involved too.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having us on. I'm at Louis Freeburg on Twitter. And yeah, I hope to kind of see you on the Discord or the Telegram. And you know, if you have any thoughts or, you know, any suggestions, we're more than happy to entertain them and you know, put in a proposal and, you know, we'll go from there.
And ESD.tools. Awesome. Louis, gotta mention ESD tools.
Come on, Louis, it's your child, man. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
Hey everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on iTunes, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter and LinkedIn. And stay tuned for our next episode out soon.